How about we get right to the second hour and our co-host in the second hour? That would be the host of the NFL Matchup Show and a good friend of Howard Mudd. That would be the great Sal Palantonio. Good morning, Sal.
Oh, you read that section of the book, huh?
Well, I mean, you and Howard, you go way back. And so anyway, yes, the book is called The Inside Story of How the Philadelphia Eagles Won Their First Super Bowl Championship, available on Amazon. And I know it's doing very well. And I urge anybody to get out there and get a copy of it. So,
yeah, if I may, I would like to promote our book signing at the brand new bookstore that just opened in Center City on Walnut Street. It's a fabulous bookstore. If you haven't been there, it's called Shakespeare and Company, and they have two of them in New York. They opened up one outside of New York for the first time, and they did it in Center City, Philadelphia. It's on Walnut, right in Rittenhouse Square. It's called Shakespeare and Company, and I will be there on Friday night at 6:30 p.m.
All right. Look forward to that. Sal, we're going to reverse the order here. Usually we start talking about the home team. We're going to do that last this time. First, I want to get your reaction to the Thursday night game. New Orleans going into Dallas and getting punched really in the mouth. Your thoughts about that game?
Well, you know, Pat and Joe, if you remember, prior to the Eagles playing the Cowboys, I warned everybody about the Cowboys' defense on this show.
It's true.
And I said that game is going to be a very difficult game for the Eagles. The Cowboys' defense, the drafting of the Notre Dame linebacker Smith and Vander Esch turned out to be, you know, really two good moves because they are violent and fast at the point of attack, and they probably have the best pass rusher in the NFC in DeMarcus Lawrence. So, you know, they're attacking the quarterback. They're not letting running backs get past the second level. They're very good tacklers, and they're coached very well, and they're getting after the quarterback. And when they played Colt McCoy on Thanksgiving, it was a tale of two halves. He played well in the first half, and then they started hitting him. And then he shut it down, and the Cowboys ran away with that game. And that's the most uncomfortable I've seen Drew Brees in a long time. Now, I know they had a lot of rest, but still, those Thursday night games on the road are tough just because of an NFL player's body clock. It's difficult to go on the road on Thursday night and win, but that was about as bad as I've seen New Orleans play in a long, long time. And I think you have to give a lot of credit to the Dallas defense. I really do.
All right. So I was asking Joe in hour number one, Sal, and I know I'm peeking ahead here, but I'm periodically allowed to do it. But so the model that the Cowboys have seemingly unearthed in the last 4 weeks, like miraculously after that loss to Tennessee on Monday Night Football, the model they have, and it's kind of the model the L.A. Chargers have, which is play very good defense, aggressive defense, run the ball, and take advantage of your opportunities. In this league, the way this game is played today, this Madden NFL, is there a path for teams like that to go deep into a playoff run?
Well, that's the question. The way you phrase the question, Pat, deep into a playoff run. So there are four or five teams that are using this model right now. Baltimore is definitely one of them. They're limiting Lamar Jackson's pass attempts to 25 or less in the last six games. They've had 40 or more rush attempts in the last two games. They're number one in points allowed. Defense, running the football, they're on the doorstep. Chicago, same deal, on the doorstep.
Right, I forgot
marginal
about that.
Marginal quarterback play.
Yep.
San Diego has good quarterback play. Now, of course, they're going to be missing their running back, it looks like, for at least a couple of games. But they're playing lights-out defense, giving up 19 points a game, San Diego. Good quarterback play. So those are the models. Dallas is in that grouping for sure. I don't know whether how deep you can go. It depends on the matchup. You know, it really does. I mean, can Baltimore go into New England and beat the Patriots with the current system that they have? Probably not. You know, without Kareem Hunt, I don't think Kansas City is going to be very much in the hunt. You know, from just a football perspective, losing Hunt is similar to losing Carson Wentz last year, the way the Eagles lost him. But to injury is one thing. This kind of upheaval that this kind of disturbing event causes within an organization, I don't know what kind of psychological disrepair that causes within the Kansas City organization.
Sal, speaking of psychological factors, I was talking about the Eagles' state of mind at the moment, and this might be one of the first times they can really actually utilize the backs against the wall underdog mentality, and this is a must-win game, it seems, on Monday night. Have you sensed any kind of additional motivation or urgency from the team?
You know, they played that card last week, Joe. When I talked to Doug Peterson before the game against the Giants, you know, he said we had a great meeting on Saturday night in the team hotel. He described it to me. I reported it on SportsCenter and on Instagram, Sal Pal ESPN. And when I did that, I was convinced, frankly, that they had extra motivation. And then they came out and played flat against the Giants in the first half, offensively and defensively. So I don't know how much psychological factors factor in to what the Eagles are doing right now. I think they just have a severe matchup problem in two areas that's holding them back. Number one, their offense goes through the tight end, Zach Ertz. They acquired Golden Tate. They've tried to shoehorn him into this offense. They've targeted him 20 yards and got a paltry 20 times and got a paltry 97 yards out of him since they acquired him. They're now, I think, over trying to get him involved so much just to justify the trade itself. And they're ignoring Alshon Jeffrey as a result. And, you know, I went back and looked at it. I think I emailed it to you during the week, Pat. You know, love Zach Ertz. All pro tight end, absolutely going to probably break Jason Witten's single season receiving record for tight ends. But when you go back and look at Jason Witten, and Jason Witten's probably going to get the Hall of Fame. I'm going to vote for him. I'm a voter. I'm voting for Jason Witten going to Hall of Fame. But when Jason Witten set that record with the Cowboys went 8-8 that year. It's very hard to run your offense, your passing game, through the tight end. You need an explosive wide receiver as a complement.
Yeah, especially the way the game is played now, because it's, you got to get chunks of yards. And right
this
now,
there's no way to disparage the great talent of Zach Ertz and the great talent of Jason Witten. It's just the schematics of the way the game is played. You don't want this offense to turn into Tony Romo to Jason Witten all the time.
Right. You just don't. And especially, Sal, I've been talking about it during the show, is they've got to start to play well in the first quarter. You mentioned how flat they came out against the Giants. I mean, it's hard to derive any inspiration from last week's game to say that Philadelphia is ready to go on a gauntlet that starts with Washington, then goes to Dallas, then to Los Angeles, and then home to Houston.
Yeah, so the second, the answer to Joe's question, the second is obviously the secondary. They've had all those injuries. Now, they're going to get Sidney Jones back, but to what extent? You know, he's had foot and ankle and hamstring and soft tissue injuries in the leg ever since he, you know, busted his Achilles in the last year of school that dropped him down to the second round. So I don't know how much he's going to contribute. I don't know how much Darren Sproles is going to contribute. But they need to attack Colt McCoy on Monday night. I mean, literally, relentlessly attack Colt McCoy. I mean, the bottom line is this, right, Joe and Pat? You got to be able to beat Colt McCoy on Monday Night Football at the Link.
Yep, absolutely.
We could talk for 3 hours about this game, but it's summarized in that sentence, is it not? I mean, it is.
So, Sal, one of the things that I know that you were higher on Dallas's chances for Thursday night in particular than a lot of people were, and last week this time we were talking.
You and I talked the day before the game, and I told you, watch out for Dallas.
Yeah, exactly. And we were talking about their legitimacy in the NFC. We've heard people talk about them having a puncher's chance at making it to the Super Bowl. But do you see that as a statement game for them, or getting up really big for one game against a Super Bowl favorite?
Listen, if we learned anything yesterday with this Kareem Hunt situation, is that anything can happen. If we learned anything by Carson Wentz's injury last year, it's that anything can happen. And you know how teams are going to respond. You got a lot of football left. And going back to Pat's question, in your answer is, can the Cowboys do it with a running game and defense? Yes, they can. It pains me to say that, but of course they can. You know, what travels the best in the NFL? A pass rush? One. A running game? Two.
Sure.
Those two things travel.
Yep, that's true. And right now, the home team, you know, they're banking on Josh Adams. Sal, give me your thoughts on Josh Adams. He physically now, I'm not saying qualitatively, but physically, he kind of reminds me of Marcus Allen. It's an odd physical stature for a running back. Very tall, seemingly thin. And you don't see that much anymore in the league.
No, they don't. Not since your guy in a Rams uniform, Eric Dickerson.
That's right. Well, Dickerson was, but he was thicker, I think, than Josh Adams is.
Oh, God, and he was a lot faster.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I just don't see, I mean, God bless Josh Adams. He's came in, he had a nice career at Notre Dame, and he's done very well. But, I mean, boy, the accolades that are being heaped on this guy.
He's been okay.
Yeah.
You know, he sort of looks like Cordero Patterson.
Yeah.
Doesn't he a little bit?
Yeah, I'd say that's a good one. That's a good one. Yeah.
The New England Patriots converted into a running back. And, you know, that was an extreme measure. Typical Belichick, find a guy and say, okay, you got to do this for the team, you know, right now.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't like it, there's the door. you know, and Josh Adams has been pressed into service here. And they knew what they were getting with this guy. And sometimes it just takes time for guys to develop a sense of the game, for sure. If you don't have, you know, spectacular talent coming out of college, like Emmitt Smith or Zeke Elliott or, you know, or Franco Harris, to name a few, that just, you know, hit the ground running from the moment they stepped on an NFL field. Shady McCoy, Brian Westbrook. Just the instinctive ability to go with great skill and athletic talent. You know, he just doesn't have all of those. He doesn't, you know, really he has, I don't think he has any of those traits, but he's managed to step into this role and play pretty well. And here's the thing, Pat, he's looked better than the alternatives.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
And when you look better than the alternatives, people start to praise you.
That's correct.
Got to be faster than the slowest person when the bear is chasing you, right, Sal?
That's very good. That's very good, Joe. Look at you.
That is correct. That's the apt metaphor here. Exactly.
You pointed to two matchups in particular where the Eagles could struggle against Washington and areas where they might have areas for concern. Where do they win?
The Eagles.
Where do the Eagles win? Are there matchups that you like?
Where do they win? I think where they win is, you know, I think, A, if they study the tape, and Greg Cosell has a fantastic breakdown of the game on the matchup show this weekend. I DVR it because it's terrific. He goes back and he looks at the two games from last year. Well, Carson Wentz played in both those games, and the Eagles won both games. But in both games, the Eagles had problems with the same exact pass rush. A double A-gap pass rush where the Washington Redskins played games and switched around and forced the Eagles to communicate, which they weren't doing a very good job of, and block, which they also weren't doing a very good job of, and picking up the blitz. You'll see in the piece when Wendell Smallwood does a poor job picking up the blitz and blocking, and gets Carson Wentz mauled by the Redskins, you can see why Wendell Smallwood is not in the starting lineup for the Philadelphia Eagles right now, because he's just so bad at picking up the blitz.
Yeah.
But I think that's an area where I think they will win, because they will have learned their lesson, and they will have studied the film, specifically the quarterback, Carson. I think they will win for sure, without a doubt, with their defensive line, first and foremost.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is a game where the Eagles' defensive line, similarly to what happened in the second half against the Giants, will just torment the undermanned Redskins' offensive line and Colt McCoy.
All right. All right, Sal, it's an ugly Week 13 slate, all right? But I'm going to allow you two sentences per the only two games that I think are worthwhile for this week besides the Monday
night. I'll give you one sentence back. Okay,
one sentence. Here we go. Minnesota at New England.
Vikings have no shot of winning that game.
Okay, there you go. And give me the following sentence, the L.A. Chargers traveling to Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I think that's an intriguing game because the Chargers have a defense and a pass rush. Bosa is a problem. And Ben has been turning the ball over. He's got 12 interceptions. That's tied for the most, second most in the league. The only one, the only quarterback with more is Sam Darnold with 14. So that's not good.
Mm-hmm. And he said he's not sorry about it on his radio show. Said I'll throw 12 more if I have to.
It's Antonio Brown's fault. Antonio didn't break off his route.
Great I gotcha. Teammate. I gotcha. I think the Chargers can win that game.
All right. All right, listen, let's do a little top five here, Sal, before we have to let you go. The top five brought to you by our buddy Pat McConney. So if you're thinking about buying a home or refinancing your existing mortgage, lowering your monthly payment, check him out, Andy Mack Home Mortgage. He can hold your hand throughout the whole process. You can reach him at 267-474-6379. That's 267-474-6379. Andy Mack is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 338-923. I wanted to do the top five coach-quarterback tandems in the NFL today. A lot made of this used to be the type of things, you know, Mike McCarthy, Aaron Rodgers. Well, they're not in the top five anymore, at least not in mine.
I think they've been replaced
by some younger guns. But first off, Joe, you mind if I go first? I'm the senior citizen.
Please,
here.
Let it rip.
All right, so, of course, it's got to be Belichick. Brady was still number one, I think, and probably will be till somebody else knocks him off. I'll go Peyton Breeze. They took a hit Thursday night, as Sal was mentioning, that Drew Brees, I never saw him look less comfortable than he did Thursday night, and that, there might be some sort of blueprint there, but I still think they're second. You got to go Andy, December, November, and October, Andy, and Patrick Mahomes, three, all right? Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson, they continue to do really wonderful things out there with mediocre talent, in my opinion. And I'm going to throw Sean McVay and Jared Goff in at five.
Oh, boy. Wow. This is interesting, Pat, because you have two defensive coaches thrown in there, right?
Yeah.
I think you have to go Sean Payton, Drew Brees, one, because Sean Payton's calling the plays. And I'm going to go with the second Sean McVay, Jared Goff, because Sean McVay's calling the plays.
Okay.
And I'm going to go Doug Peterson, Carson Wentz, number three. People forget, they scored 30 points a game last year when everybody was healthy. Wentz was healthy. The offense was healthy. 30 points a game and won a Super Bowl based largely on the fact that they won 11 games together and basically tormented the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
I got to go Peterson, Wentz as number three. Reed and Mahomes, and we're going to find out soon enough if Patrick Mahomes is Andy Reid-proof here in December and January.
It's true.
As the last one. And then I'm going to shock and amaze you, Joe Frazier. I'm going to go Bill O'Brien and Deshaun Watson.
Okay, all right.
It's a good list.
Not bad.
I didn't pick any of the defensive-minded coaches because they're not calling the plays.
The only differences that I have, Brady, Belichick, Peyton, Breeze, I have Wentz, Peterson, fifth. They're in the top five. I had Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson at four.
Mm-hmm.
And I had Ben Roethlisberger, Mike Tomlin at three.
Yeah.
Just looking at body of work and everything else. But I hear the compelling arguments for the Goffs, Mahomes, and Watsons of the world.
Sal does have a good slant on it. But I think Carroll and Wilson, they deserve some sort of accolade for what they've been able to pull off with what I think is mediocre, consistent.
If you're just talking head coach, and his overall, stewardship of the team. But I'm talking about relationship.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
In terms of coaching the quarterback position and calling the plays on game day, which I think is truly a special relationship.
Right.
I think that's the way I decided to go. And if you go in that way, I think you have to put Peterson Wentz really close. They're the defending Super Bowl champs.
Yeah. All right, the book's called Philly Special, the inside story of how the Eagles won their first Super Bowl championship. It's a well-written book. I urge everybody to put it under somebody's tree a month from now. So, Sal, hopefully you're close to home this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
All right, that's good.
All my rowdy ESPN friends will be in South Philly on my behalf.